States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we'll be reviewing the 2014 US Dressage Finals presented by Adequan with George Williams, Jan Rumbaugh, and Silver Martin. But first, we have a couple of items of news. Christiana Logan from North Plains, Oregon, has been awarded the 2014 USDF Youth Volunteer of the Year Award. This is sponsored by the USDF Youth Programs Advisory Subcommittee and honors one outstanding youth volunteer who has contributed both nationally and locally to the USDF and to dressage. As the winner, Christiana will be presented with a perpetual trophy donated by the Akin family of Warwick, New York, in honor of Lendon Gray, which is permanently on display in the Rumor USDF Hall of Fame and will be featured in the yearbook issue of USDF Connection. She will also receive a Keeper Trophy. The USDF has announced its newest certified instructors, who were examined by Sarah Geike and Lilo Four at the Phantom Hill Farm in Fort Collins, Colorado, on October 24th and 25th. They are Sheila Bouchette of Moult, Montana, Stacy Williams of Ivins, Utah, and Joan Clay of Fort Collins, Colorado, who are certified at training through first level, and four instructor trainers certified at third through fourth level include Alejandro Salazar of Placerville, California, Clayton Martin of Blanca, Colorado, Dolly Hannon of Golden, Colorado, and Gwen Kawaloa of Elizabeth, Colorado. And now for our review of the 2014 U.S. Dressage Finals, we begin with the USDF President, George Williams. George, I hear there was a very warm reception at the horse park, even though the weather wasn't very kind.
Other than the weather, it was quite a good event.
It really was a very popular event, and something now it seems that riders are putting on their calendar for the end of the year. Let's give our listeners an overall view of how the finals unfolded, because there was a class at all levels, wasn't there?
Yes. We have, of course, the adult amateur division and the open division. And at each division, we have training through Grand Prix. And also in each division this year, for the first time, we offered the freestyles. When I say in each division, this year they were separated out. We had the freestyles last year, but as only an open class. This year we offered an adult amateur division in all the freestyle levels. In the finals, of course, it is the championship tests, or the usually test three in the USEF test. So from training level through fourth level of USEF, and also, of course, in the FEI levels, pre-St. George through Grand Prix. With this year, we use the intermediate B test in place of the intermediate two. But other than that, all of the FEI through the Grand Prix, all the FEI tests are included, because we don't do the young horse or those FEI tests. We do pre-St. George, intermediate one, intermediate B, and the Grand Prix.
And the competition was spread outside as well to the other arenas, the Claiborne, the Walnut, the Murphy, and the Stoneleigh. But those that were lucky enough to get inside into the Altec Arena had quite an experience by all accounts, George. It's a wonderful space now to compete in.
Oh, I think, to me, that is one of the things that is so special about the competition. You know, we would, of course, love to be able to get all of the championship classes into the Altec. That's just impossible. But the Altec provides, I think, probably the only true indoor experience in this country. You know, we try to create an atmosphere that would be similar to what you would find at the indoor shows in Europe. The Altec Arena itself is pretty spectacular arena. The footing is excellent. We have the benefit of coming in after the National Horse Show, which means that we have a lot of the sort of extras that we're able to provide with the VIP tables and all of that aspect of it. So I think we're able to create a true world-class indoor atmosphere there.
And I think that indeed was referred to by some of the professional riders, that it was every bit as good as some of the European shows.
It's nice to hear, because that's certainly the atmosphere we're trying to create.
And wonderful family of sponsors supporting the show again. It was presented by Adequan, and those sponsors are so key to the success of these finals, aren't they, George?
They are. We're very grateful for the sponsorships that we have. Adequan has been with us. This is our second year. They've been with us both years. SmartPak has been with us both years. This year we had a new sponsor with Stanley, which we're really happy to have. And then we also have, you know, our patrons, the individuals that donate money to help the finals become a reality. And without our sponsors and patrons, it really would be difficult to do.
Not forgetting the volunteers that contribute to the show.
Well, I think we have, first off, I think we have a fantastic organizing team. We have really some of the top show organizers in the country helping us on our, you know, on our management team. A fantastic group of volunteers. They come from all over the country. The volunteers also make it possible, and they're the ones that, a lot of them are out in the weather and very good and you know, enthusiastic. I think that the support we get from the volunteers just shows the overall support the competition really has among the dressage community.
And it will continue to stay on the calendar for that time of year, will it, George, for next year?
Yes, it will. And next year it also is scheduled to be at the Kentucky Horse Park. The calendar has sort of two, especially when at the Kentucky Horse Park, we have two, limitations. That's not really quite the right word. But of course, to qualify for the U.S. Dressage Finals, we use the regional championships, the Great American Insurance Group regional championships. And those, you know, have to, of course, be held. And those are also time sensitive in the calendar, and they're difficult. You know, we can't really just move those around randomly. There are venues and other considerations to take that we have to think about. So we're somewhat limited by by our time because of the regional championships. And then, as I mentioned, coming into the horse park, we come in right after the National Horse Show. So it would, you know, it's impossible for us to move it forward a week at the horse park. And because of the regional championships, it would be impossible to move it even further forward. So we're really limited, you know, of when we can hold this. And as I said, I think there are a lot of benefits of coming in after the National. It's not a complaint. It's just the way it is, and we do benefit, as I said, from the some of the setup and whatnot of the National Horse Show.
Well, it certainly has become the highlight of the year for many riders, not least of all the amateurs who qualify, as we've heard. So obviously another good year for those finals, and looking forward to next year. Do you see any changes, George, on the calendar next year?
Not necessarily on the calendar. I think we, you know, this year, as I said, we offered the adult amateur divisions of the freestyles. We were very pleasantly surprised at the amount of interest that those created. We certainly have to look at how we keep moving forward. We had an increase of approximately 100 horses from the first year to the second year. We're more than pleasantly surprised. We're thrilled by the amount of interest and the amount of growth it has created. But that also means, of course, we have to keep looking at how to refine it, how to make it much better, how to keep it moving forward, and keeping it sustainable. This is a competition that we really want to see become established and become part of the dressage calendar from year to year. And I think it's an extremely important competition. It's with the adult amateurs and being able to showcase the adult amateurs, it has created a tremendous amount of interest. We've seen in almost all of the regional championships, a large increase in the number of entries. And we really think that that a lot of that can be attributed to the interest in the U.S. dressage finals. So I think it's a wonderful competition. It has really generated more interest than we even hoped in dressage and in competing in general in dressage. And I just, you know, thrilled with how it's gone. So the challenge for us is to maintain the quality and try to make it better and better every year.
And additionally, of course, people can watch this online thanks to the USEF network. It's still on demand, so people can go back and watch those tests, which I understand have proved very popular. And that's a wonderful added dimension to the finals, isn't it, to take it to a wider audience, George?
I think that's such an important aspect. I just saw the more recent numbers, and the numbers are very high of the number of visits to the USEF network to see, you know, to watch the finals. I think that's such an important part of it. And I think one of the unique things we're able to offer is having professional commentary during the finals, during the rides.
So we're looking forward to next year for those finals again in November in the Alltech Arena, and hope for a little bit warmer weather, a little bit kinder to those that were outdoors.
Yes, that would be nice. But I have to say, I think if we'd been a week earlier or a week later, either way, the weather was almost worse. So, the other comment I have to make is, you know, in walking around and being up in the arenas, in the outdoor arenas, during the worst of the weather, I was very impressed by the attitude of competitors and their willingness and, to cope with the weather and to deal with it. So, it was exciting to see, because I think it just shows how much interest there is in the overall competition.
Absolutely.
You know, weather. Regardless of the weather, in a way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And dedication to the sport. Well, thank you, George, much indeed for coming on the program and giving us your review of those U.S. dressage finals presented by Adequan.
Thank you.
Our next guest is Jan Rumbaugh, who, together with Junior, won the Grand Prix Freestyle Championship for adult amateurs. Jan, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations on your win at the finals. Obviously, a memorable experience for you. A career highlight, would that be?
Oh, it definitely is. I'm just so thrilled about it, because it's very special that the United States Dressage Federation has made this finals, and I just think it's wonderful.
Now, had you competed at the horse park before at all?
Yes, I did last year. I came up and did the Grand Prix, and I was reserve last year, as well as I was reserve this year.
So obviously it was a big event for you in your year. What had you done leading up to these finals, Jan?
Well, this particular horse I bred, and he is so I had gone through with him in every single level of the USDF, all the levels through a training level all the way up to the Grand Prix. And I really set a goal with this particular horse when I started riding him, because he was so difficult. He was very naughty, and so I wanted to get a very high score at every single level in the highest at the highest test. Otherwise, I didn't move up. And so I would set a, I think I was 72 for training level, and then about 72 almost for every level, and 69. And I told myself I could not go to complete before I have two scores of 69 in I2.
Well, it's obviously a fabulous partnership that you have with Junior. So tell us a little bit about your preparation for these finals then, Jan. What had you done just prior to the finals leading up to this? Because obviously he peaked at the right time.
Well, what I do, I ride him every single day except Monday. And I do train with Mikaela Gunnarsson. Well, she was 5 months in Europe with my horse, My Lady. So I just rode him all by myself all summer. And I variate his training, you know, in the ring. And then I take him out on trails. And so he's always kind of be fresh. But he's always a horse that looks for a way out. sometimes he doesn't want to, you know, he want, doesn't want to go the way I want to go. He wants to go the other way. And he's that kind of a horse, and he has been very quirky in a way, so you never really know. And even when I rode into the freestyle, he kind of ran away with me on the outside because he heard a noise that he didn't like. And that's just the way Junior is. So many times when I show him, you never know if he's going to run away, he's going to buck, or he's going to turn around. So this was really wonderful that he settled in and did his job.
And so how did the competition unfold for you then when you got there? Because it was quite chilly in the horse park.
Oh, yes. I clipped him 2 weeks before I went up there. And within one day, he set a winter coat again. And I think a lot of other horses did the same thing. But we were very fortunate. We were inside. But I still took him outside, you know, to walk around. But it was so cold, and everybody was such a good sport about it. And it was so special to be there. So I think that kind of took over, and there was a lot of people in the shed rows, and it was just really cold.
Yes, it certainly was. Mm-hmm. Well, then Obviously going inside and riding made a difference for you.
Oh, definitely. It was wonderful. But last year, too, he was too, you know, it's a pretty scary ring because we never have an opportunity to have a venue like this. And so I think this venue is wonderful, and I hope they continue doing it because I think all the riders really, really enjoy it. And you look at the amateurs today, I'm pretty old, and I've been in it for so long since they started the amateur riding at the USDF. And so I always wanted to stay an amateur because of that, because I think that the amateurs are really the grassroots of the dressage in this country.
So how did dressage come into your life in the first place when you were still living in Europe? Did you start as a child?
Yes, I was a pony rider in Denmark, one of the first pony riders in Denmark, and we always had to do basic dressage, even on our ponies. And my mentor and trainer at that time was a wonderful man called Gunnar Andersen, and we always had to have our ponies behave and do, you know, lower level dressage, like training level or first level.
So obviously you had a very good start to your career then, because even though you were an amateur with that kind of training.
Oh yes, I'm very fortunate. And then, you know, you just ride different horses, and I've always been very interested in it, and I've always read a lot of books, and I've been fortunate to see a lot of the wonderful trainers in the world, and I've gone to clinics or I've had opportunities to ride with some of the top people in some of the top masters, and unfortunately some of them have passed away.
Well, you mentioned that you ride junior almost every day. Do you have any other horses that you score?
Yes, I do. I do, and actually I just sold two of them. One was a Prix Saint George mare, and she was in the finals as well with her new rider, and she was number 9 in the third level, and I bred her. And she was half Ullenborg and half PRE horse. And I rode her through all the levels, all the way up through Prix Saint George. But she was not, I didn't feel that she would make it up to Grand Prix. So now she has a wonderful home. And then I had another one of Gauchos that I had the stallion. I did third level, and somebody wanted to buy him. And he got another wonderful home. So I ride always 3 horses, and now I have another little 4-year-old, a 4-year-old Danish mare, and she actually qualified for the finals as well in training level. So I had one in training level and one in Grand Prix, one in the lowest and one in the highest. But I didn't decide to take her because it was a long trip, and she only did 4 tests to qualify to the... The fourth test was the regional championship, and she got the wild card score to go.
Where do you train out of?
I have a farm in Wellington, one of the older farms in Wellington, and I call it MTICA. My husband named it Matika, and it means more than I can afford. And because it's not only the finances, but the times with your children and your grandchildren, your husbands, and everything else that has to be done, because the horses take up a lot of time.
Well, clearly, obviously, a long road trip for you to go up to Kentucky, but well worth it. Would that...
I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it. And I hope I'll be back next year. I hope I'll be still alive and come back next year.
So if you put that competition then this year in context of your career or your riding career then, Jan, where would this fit?
Well, you know, it's very special for me because of junior. Because of junior, I went through every single USDF level. And for me, so that was very, very special. I have had other horses that have gone the level, but then they have been, I bought them Prix St. George and finished them Grand Prix. Or I've bought other young horses and taken them up through I-1. But this one, this particular horse is really special to me because he was very, very difficult. And being able to get him to where he is today, and I'm just really, and he still improves. He can still improve. He's 12 years old, and it's taken me all these years. I start riding him as a four-year-old, three-and-a-half, four-year-old, and that's what it takes because his muscle's okay. Touch wood, he's never been lame. He has gotten no only the first now as a 12-year-old, he has gotten a maintenance. Otherwise, he's never gotten any maintenance. And that, for me, proves that if you do it, hurry up slowly, you have sound horses.
Very good message there. What's left for him for the winter, and what will you do with him
next
year?
I'm going to do the they have a new thing in FEI, which is for amateurs, which they do the B, I think A and 2, A and B. The problem is that he has a world rating junior, and I don't think they allow amateurs that has a world rating to go in these new amateur classes, but we have to find out what FEI is going to do. Otherwise, I'll do the CDIs. I'll just do the regular CDIs with him and see how. I love it when I get the five judges because, for me, is you have five judges looking at you, and I take it as a learning experience, and I go home and I look at my video, I see, okay, this judge can see it from this side, I have to improve here, I have to improve there, and you know, you have so many things you have to improve, and Grand Prix is so difficult, and it's just a wonderful journey to study it and see what these wonderful, actually the judges, really, you get a lesson, you get a fabulous lesson from five people at the same time.
Ever the consummate adult amateur, Jan, again, congratulations on your win at the finals, and thank you for coming on the program.
Okay, thank you very much.
And finally, we hear from Silver Martin, who many of you will know sustained a serious head injury earlier this year in Wellington, and has since recovered and is back in the show ring. Hi, Silver. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Chris. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Well, I know it's a week now since you were at the Kentucky Horse Park to compete in the finals. Let's talk about how it went for you. You had two horses. Let's talk us through the competitions and what your impressions were of the finals, being your first time there.
Okay. I loved it. I think it's such a great show, and I think it's a really great show, especially for amateurs to make it a goal for the end of the year to get there. It was very cold, unfortunately. I don't like the cold much, but the stalls in the indoor, and the indoor was heated, so that was nice. The horses were very comfortable, and the competition was run so smoothly, and it was a bit of a big deal. Like, it felt like a big deal, which was nice because of championships. So, I had two horses, and I couldn't be happier with how they went.
Well, let's talk about those two rides then.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had Zora in the Prix St. George finals. He is a 9-year-old Dutch horse owned by Bonnie Stead, and he is a fabulous horse, but he's green at that level. And you know, I had an injury this year, so I had a bit of time off, and he had a bit of time off. But he did his first Prix St. George's in Florida, and then, and then we had the time off. But he really did great, and he was, self-focused and happy to do it. So he finished ninth, which, you know, I like to win, but, there were so many fabulous horses and, he's green, so I couldn't be happier with the result. And then I also had a four-year-old bred by Melinda Waldman, Larry Smith, Dankeschön. He's owned by Michelle Huber, and he was probably one of the youngest horses in the class, in the training class. He qualified with flying colors, with big scores. And, of course, he finished 10th, which, again, I like to win, but I also understand that there's horses in that class that are a lot older and have done it a lot longer than this little guy, and he was very, very good. So I'm happy.
Oh, good experience for them. Well, you mentioned there your accident. Obviously, everybody knows that you were sidelined for a while after that bad accident last winter. So tell us how you are in your recovery and how much competing you've been able to do since you got back in the tack, Silva.
Okay, so, it's hard for me not to train and compete because that's what I do and I've done for all my life. But I started to ride and compete probably, 2 months ago. So I didn't ride at all for probably 4.5 months, which is a long time for me. And then I had a lot of physical balance issues and things like that. And, I still have vision issues, but, my body has been doing the riding for so long that it just kind of takes over and does it on its own. So, I'm just so happy to be doing what I'm doing. And, there's big challenges in life. And I got to say, even though it was a terrible accident, you've got to deal with it and you got to make the best out of the situation. And I'm trying to do that.
How many horses do you have in training now? And what are your plans for the winter season?
I have probably 18 or something horses in training. I have some really nice young horses that Boyd and I own. And then I also have, obviously, my client's horses, which are fabulous. And then I have Rosa Cha, who's ready for Grand Prix probably in February. I did the clinic with Robert Dover 2 weeks ago, and he said, maybe go ahead and show in Grand Prix, which is very exciting to have a Grand Prix horse again, especially one that I made myself. So that's my big plan. And then I have some other horses that are ready for the small tour in Wellington. So, I'm excited to do some CDIs and things like that with them.
Well, that's a lot of horses in the barn. So how many do you take down to Florida for the winter season, Silva?
I'll probably take between 10 and 15 to Wellington. So I'm lucky enough that I have so many. I'm not a very good rester, and I'm not very good at being bored. So I'm happy that I have a lot of horses that I can take and stay busy.
Well, clearly you're going to be busy. So does that mean that now you have a rest from showing now once the finals are behind you? Mm-hmm. That's a bit of a break now before you go down to Florida?
Yeah. So the final summer, but that was my last competition. So I'm done showing now, which is great. So now I teach a lot of clinics and I teach a lot at home. I hopefully get to spend a bit of time with my husband, who's also on the road a lot. It's kind of a nice time of the year because he can get to do things that he usually don't get to do.
Right. I know that obviously is quality time for you, but a wonderful finish to the season that you were able to get back after your injury into competition. So the finals is something that you're going to put on your schedule for next year, is it?
Yes, I think so. I think it's the organizers have done an amazing job with making the competition so special for everybody that gets to go, and it's a nice goal to have for every rider to be able to get to qualify, and it just gives you a perspective of what you want to do each year to get there.
Well, hopefully the weather will be a bit warmer for you next year, Silva, when you go to the horse park.
Thank you. I think November can be anything, but since the indoor is it's heated and it's so spectacular in there. It is fine. I'm just being a wimp.
Well, good luck this winter in Florida, Silver, and we look forward to seeing you back at the finals next year. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And a reminder, with just 1 week to go before the annual convention, which will be held in Cambridge, Massachusetts, from December 3rd through the 6th, that you can find more information about the convention on the website at usdf.org. And while you're on the website, be sure to visit eTrack, the USDF's online learning centre and resource for dressage and equine education. And don't forget, this podcast is available for download from iTunes to your podcast apps on your smartphones. The USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.